There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house, sideline, pylon, touchdown, and the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome into the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler. Join alongside my co-host, Aaron Murray. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. He is at Aaron Murray 11. I am at Drew Butler. Head on over to puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. I had a couple of hat orders come through after the national championship. I've actually had some requests, Aaron, to get some national championship punt and pass gear going. So I need to look into that. But if you're looking for a tour visor, if you're looking for a punt and pass golf hat, head on over to puntandpass.com, put your order in. I'll send them out right away. Before we get started, look, the season's over. I just want to give a huge shout out to our two biggest partners this season. Of course, Prize Picks. Everybody knows Prize Picks. Prize Picks has been with us for a couple of years now. Keep using Prize Picks. The NFL season is rocking and rolling. Mm-hmm. We're talking with them still about how we're going to continue through the offseason. Promo code PUNT, still alive. Of course, you get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. We are going out to dinner with John Coker later on. I mean, a couple of weeks. I don't know. I was emailing him the other day, Aaron. So that will be a lot of fun. But Prize Picks is the best. And Solomon Brothers. Of course, Solomon Brothers was awesome new partner this year. Go to Solomon Brothers. Alpharetta and Buckhead, 10% off your jewelry purchase if you mention Drew or Aaron, or Punt and Pass. It was so fun just later on throughout the season getting DMs, seeing people out. Hey, I got my engagement ring from Solomon Brothers. Hey, I got my wife or girlfriend a Christmas gift from Solomon Brothers. We love it. When you support our sponsors, it's a huge help. So huge thanks to Solomon Brothers. Follow them at Solomon Brothers, solomonbrothers.com, and of course, Prize Picks. So shout out to them. Aaron, it is Wednesday, January 19th. We're filming this in the morning. The Georgia Bulldogs are still national champions. And I guess we can just kind of touch on everything, put a bow on this whole thing. You were on the TV coverage of the national championship parade, which just looked absolutely amazing in Athens last weekend. Rumors are running rampant around Stetson Bennett and his future at Georgia. Will Georgia go to the transfer portal? There's just a lot to talk about. So let's dive right into it. How was the national championship parade?
It was awesome, man. It felt like a game day experience. I mean,
looked like it.
You know, first night, Sharon and I got a little bit too rowdy on Friday night. We went up there early. We are not young bucks anymore, and we were hurting that night and into the next morning. Sharon, hopefully she's not listening. It's the first part of the parade. I wasn't sure if she was going to make the parade at all, but she toughed it up. She toughed it up though. She made it and came out and hung out with me. But like I woke up at, you know, 7:38, went to go get breakfast, and you could already see people rolling in, man. People carrying chairs and all Georgia decked out, ready to go for the parade. And then when I left, probably around 10 o'clock, obviously I had to go through the Butts Mirror from our boy Ty Frick's condo, go through the Butts Mirror, get my Pedialyte, head on over to the stadium. And it was slammed on campus like at 10:30 in the morning. I mean, it literally felt like I was getting ready for a game day. Yeah. So getting to the stadium, obviously was covering the parade, watching it, looked amazing. Went on the field, took some pictures with the trophy, got back up in the booth with WSB and was kind of going through the next 2 hours with them and filled up. Stadium filled up. Completely filled up. The people were lined up like crazy on the bridge overlooking the stadium. It was like we were getting ready to play you know, LSU in Sanford Stadium or South Carolina in Sanford Stadium. Like, that's what the feeling was there. It was awesome. It was special. I thought everyone that got up and spoke did a great job. Shout out DJ Shockley was tremendous.
Yeah, he was awesome. Seeing
that whole thing. Man, it just, it's funny. I forgot who I was talking to. Maybe Peter Burns or no, it was Hester, Jacob Hester. And he's like, yeah, when we won, it was, we just did it in the Coliseum, you know, their basketball Coliseum, like 14,000 people.
Yeah.
He said it was amazing from an outsider to see 92,000 people in that stadium. That just shows you how much the football team meant to the fan base. Winning a national championship means to this fan base. And I was just really happy to be a part of it.
It was so cool because it was elaborate. I mean, it was no rinky dink parade. The planning that had to go into that to make it be done in 5 days, probably really 4 days. I mean, they got back Tuesday late afternoon, probably athletic administration for sure wasn't in the office until Wednesday. To put that together on a Saturday, Greg Sankey was there, the National Football Foundation was there, all of the pomp and circumstance with the parade heading down Lumpkin, the fan synergy. I mean, bravo. It was absolutely awesome. So cool to see. Jordan Davis got up and spoke. So did Jamari Sawyer. I saw a little bit of chirping around Stetson not getting up and speaking. Yeah. What are your thoughts around that? But here's my thing. Okay.
Yep.
I see it both ways, right? Of course you want Stetson to get up there. I mean, he is now legendary. Good Morning America, kind of the cult-like stature that he has post winning the national championship game. Do you think he would have been put on the spot from the fans, chanting one more year, asking, are you coming back? I don't think DJ would have done that, but it could have been made into a very, very uncomfortable situation for Stetson rather than just Jamari gets up there, says, I love this team. Jordan gets up there, shows the Brave shirt. Hey, this is awesome. Go Dogs. We're the best. Do you think if Stetson would have gone up and spoke, he could have possibly been put into a tough situation?
No, I don't think so. I think I look at it as, you know, one, it was a little bit shocking to me that the starting quarterback, the guy who was the MVP in the game for the offense, wasn't up there speaking. But you also look at it as you put your senior captains up there to speak.
For sure.
You know, the guys that were the captains on the team. I think to me, that was more of the decision. It wasn't, hey, let's not put Stetson in a position where we're going to have to worry about something happening. And I'm sure Shock would never have done that. You know, being a former quarterback himself, he's not going to put Stetson on the spot like that. I look at it as more of, hey, these are our senior leaders. These are the guys that our team voted to be the captains heading into the year.
They both came back.
They obviously made a huge impact on the season. And just like Stetson, but the thing about this team is they had a bunch of big name guys that you could have had a ton of them gone up there and speak. So I'm not mad about it. I'm not worried about it. Like I said, you get two captains up there, one from offense, one for defense, let them go out there and do their thing. And Stetson's had plenty of opportunities this week to speak to the media, to be out there, to be the face of this team, to serve the fans chicken at Cane's. He's done enough. I am not mad at all that he didn't give a speech.
All right, so then let's go on to the next talking point, because I think it's one where if you're reading the tea leaves, if you're on social media, if you're on any given message board or a specific Discord, people want to know, what is Stetson Bennett going to do? Is he coming back? Now, I didn't even notice this, probably because I was just caught up in my own happiness the morning after the national championship game. Clearly, everybody saw the Good Morning America interview with Michael Strahan and Robert Roberts. Stetson was fresh off about 40 minutes of sleep and a really good time. I never even caught the time where he was asked about coming back next year and says, hey, I just need to evaluate. I need to know if I can trust the coaches. We'll see what decisions are made. I did not take anything what he said in the interview for a literal sense of the word. I mean, the guy had just won. He had no sleep. Like, who cares? But people, of course, are going to take those words, twist them, and they want what they want to believe, and now hold them against Stetson. So when he said, I need to know if I can trust the coaches, I need to see what the decisions are made. In that moment, I guess you could pick apart those words and say, what's he talking about? Like, where is his mindset right now? Because it's easy to see it twofold. Right off into the sunset, you know, common wisdom would say Stetson probably doesn't have a future in the NFL, maybe in the USFL, which is a new spring league. Is he ever going to play football again past the University of Georgia? He could go out on top. The guy is an absolute legend. There is no doubt about it. He is set for life in this great state of Georgia. Or he could come back, run it back, and hashtag burn the boats. A lot of skepticism, a lot of criticism, same old, even though he has a ring now. Would he want that? Is he built for that? His parents have talked about how hard it was on him. Stetson has openly said, it's tough to hide from that stuff. You constantly hear it. His teammates have said, hey, we try not to listen to it, but you can't get away from it. So it's a twofold decision for Stetson, and it's harder now because he has a ring. He has his out. I don't know, Aaron. I mean, signs would point that he's definitely going to come back, I think.
I would think so. I mean, this is a kid that's living out his dream. And when I talked to him about a month ago, this was after the game in Atlanta. He's like, I don't know what the coaches are going to do. You know, I don't know if they're going to want to put JT in for next season. If JT comes back, yeah. I don't know if they want me. If they want me back, like, I don't know. I got to talk with Kirby, but I can tell you one thing is I want to play college football. He said, he admitted, he's like, I don't know what my future is going to be, but I know right now I'm living out a dream, man. I get to be the starting quarterback for Georgia, leading this team in Sanford, leading this team in the playoffs. And if I'm not going to give that up, and especially one more year to play college football, I mean, that's the reason why he left initially.
Yeah.
Exactly. He left initially because he's like, I only get 4 or 5 years, obviously now 6 years because of the COVID stuff. I only get a certain amount of time to play college football, and I'm not going to waste that sitting on the bench. I'm not going to waste that, you know, not giving an opportunity to be the starter. So if that's at, if Georgia won't give me the opportunity, then I'm going to go somewhere else. I mean, that's his, he just wants to play football like everyone else, whether it's at Georgia, whether it's at a JUCO, whether it's at whatever other school, because there's going to be a lot of schools right now that need a quarterback. And if Stetson decides to walk off and leave, I guarantee you he's going to be a hot commodity in the transfer
portal. Absolutely.
You know, we'll see where it falls. To me, I think it'd be silly on Georgia's part not to commit to him to be the starting quarterback. I think he's the best guy on the roster right now, especially with, you know, the rumors swirling that JT's going to hit the transfer portal. There is one name out there in the portal right now that's still really confusing me, and that's Caleb Williams.
Yeah. You know,
why is that kid not made a decision? I mean, classes have started at USC, classes have started at Oklahoma, classes have started at Georgia. I don't know what the holdup is for him at the moment. That to me is the final chess piece that I want to see from the quarterback spot of where he lands. And, you know, being around Athens this weekend and obviously being in the media, I've heard a lot of people say, hey, there's a chance Georgia may get him. You know, I if I was a betting man, which I am, I would put my money on USC. I think that's a smart move for him.
Going to follow Lincoln Riley.
Yeah. Go follow Lincoln Riley. One of his receivers just left Oklahoma, went to USC as well.
That's right.
I think he's going to be there, but you know, there's something to be said about, you know, hey, come be the quarterback of the national champion team. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see where it goes.
You bring up all great points. Why wouldn't this coaching staff commit to Stetson Bennett? Todd Monken is yet to leave. I know there's still a ton of NFL vacancies that have not been filled. He clearly has tons of ties in the National Football League, which could easily relate to him taking a different job. Maybe not. I mean, it pays nice to be in Athens. The bonuses they just got for winning the national championship are pretty sweet. And when you're in the position that Georgia is from a recruiting perspective, getting whoever and whatever you want, winning a national championship, that is a pretty good thing to try and replicate. Here's the thing about Stetson and the coaches and this situation specifically, right? JT, rumor that he will be transferring. He has yet to enter the transfer portal because I believe he might be finishing classes and getting his degree from Georgia, therefore graduating, and then not having to enter the portal, just being able to transfer. I don't know what's going to happen, but the decision that the coaching staff makes is not just between Stetson and a transfer and Brock Vandergriff. The decision that the coaching staff is going to make will have ripple effects for somebody like an Arch Manning, for somebody like a 2024 five-star quarterback. This will hinge on how Kirby Smart specifically and the University of Georgia manages the quarterback position. You have a national championship winning quarterback. And if there's any hesitancy to commit to him a week after you just won, that's a bad look. Caleb Williams is an unknown commodity. He is an unknown commodity. We haven't seen him play against one SEC defense. You don't know how he would relate to Kirby Smart or Todd Monken's coaching styles. You have no idea how he would even like Athens. Has he visited? I don't know. Quite frankly, I don't care. But why on earth would you hedge your future on an unknown commodity in Caleb Williams, if that's the case, and push Stetson Bennett out? The guy just won you a national championship. You and I sat here and talked all season long how when the players came out week 3 or 4, whatever it was, and said, we trust Stetson, that meant everything. JT was never going to see the field again unless it was an injury. You and I knew that because we had been in locker rooms before. It would be shocking to me, absolutely shocking to me, if for some reason Stetson and the coaching staff had a fallout. They were to bring in somebody like Caleb Williams. Now Brock Vandergriff's a five-star. Gunnar Stockton's a five-star. They're sitting there going, what in the hell is going on? And Arch Manning's going, I don't know. And Cooper Manning, his dad's going, I don't know. This is a much bigger situation. It's called the minnow theory.
You think, right? Cooper has a chance to go to Georgia? I mean, based on what you're saying, you think that there's a chance to get snagged
Sure. Yeah. Coaching staff was just at his basketball game on Tuesday or whatever it was.
Yeah. Obviously they're going to want him. I'm saying, do you think he looks at the roster right now with the amount of five stars that Georgia has and four stars?
He ain't afraid of that.
I was just wondering.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But
there are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand in hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This decision is the minnow theory. One ripple in a creek can cause a wave in the ocean. There is no doubt about it.
Yep.
And that's exactly what's happening right here. So we'll see what happens. I still believe that this is just people taking a deep breath. Like, you don't need an immediate decision right away. Stetson, I mean, let him go serve Canes. The guy just won a national championship. Let him relax. Hopefully he's at Lake Oconee this weekend playing some golf and chilling out. And hopefully Kirby is too. Which leads me to my next point, okay? The relentlessness of recruiting from this staff is unlike anything I've ever seen. Because at the parade, they're having a good time. Right after the parade, they're in the West End Zone locker room recruiting more kids. I'm like, these coaches and the wives have to be like, this is crazy. Like, let my husband come home. I'd love to have a 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
Well, Kirby made a good spot in his speech where he took about, you know, 3-4 minutes and thanked the wives and the families, which, I mean, it's true though. I mean, these guys, it is no stop. And now this was the final, you know, arrow that they had that they can put it towards recruiting. Cause, you know, I mentioned on the broadcast, they got downtown Athens and the campus, the stadium, some of the best, if not the best, in all of college football. Academics, I would say, is probably number three in the SEC. Vanderbilt, Florida, Georgia.
Yeah.
I'd go in that order.
Is Florida a better pub? Yeah.
Florida's probably ranked better. I think Georgia's right behind Florida. So the third best when it comes to academics. You won a national championship. You're an hour away from Atlanta. Obviously, you can hit on all the NIL opportunities you have being in the Athens market, being so close to Atlanta. I would say that to me, there's no better place to be. And obviously we're biased because we went to Georgia, but when you stack it up,
but now
and say,
it's a fact.
Academics. Now you have a championship football team, championship coaches, some of the best facilities in the country, the campus, the stadium, the proximity to Atlanta. What am I missing at Georgia? Like what were, if you compared to LSU, way better academics.
Yeah. Better location. I mean,
better location.
Yeah.
Gainesville, crap. Oh. Better than that. Better facilities too. South Carolina, same thing. Alabama, Auburn. I mean, none of those have the complete package that Georgia has.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I agree with you. And now you add in the national championship, and it's off to the races, which is obviously really exciting. Clearly, you knew that guys were going to go to the NFL. Really, wasn't too much of an exodus from a junior standpoint. James,
your boy
Kamara's
gone.
Kamara, but he was a senior. He was a senior. He had that COVID year. I didn't think he wanted to take that. Obviously, he's going to be a stud in the NFL also. But Kamara's gone. Jordan Davis is gone. Devontae Wyatt, Jamari Sawyer, James Cook. You know, just the usual. I don't think there was too many on the Georgia side that surprise the coaches or the fan base. It was great getting Nolan Smith back. He'll have a busy spring. Mm-hmm. It was great to see Chris Smith and Tyke Smith were coming back. That was awesome. Robert Beal, leader in sacks, coming back. So Georgia's in for a fun ride. Just got to figure out the quarterback position, which is a
they really don't have to figure it out. They really don't have to figure it out. It should be set. I mean, but if say it did happen, I think there's like a 1% chance that Caleb Williams goes to Georgia.
But I mean, why?
I agree.
Sell me completely on that. I know you agree, but like, why? Because he had a good year at Oklahoma and he was a top recruit. Like, is that why?
Yes, that's why.
Okay.
That's it. That's why. But just add it to the story of Stetson Bennett once again of continue to doubt him, Even when he just won you a national championship, it was MVP on offense. You still doubt him. It's just when can you just, and once again, I go back to what I said, beginning of the season, when has this kid ever been given a true opportunity to be the starting quarterback in an off season? All his reps he gets is in the season. Like, he doesn't get reps in spring, doesn't get reps in fall camp. It's like, okay, last resort. Now we need go be the starting quarterback. Like, give the kid a legitimate chance to go out there and have success. He has yet to be given the reins to this team to really prepare for an entire offseason to go out there and have success.
Yeah.
It's amazing what he's done without being starting quarterback in spring and fall camp.
I totally agree. It's wild. So nonsense. We'll keep it tabbed on that. And obviously if some news breaks, I would guarantee it is currently 9:30 something. This afternoon, Stetson will make an announcement. I'll probably post this at 10. Announcement at 10:30, Stetson Bennett. No question about it. Yep. Hopefully he's coming back to Georgia. NFL playoffs are rocking and rolling. Matthew Stafford got the big monkey off his back. Los Angeles Rams absolutely dominated the Arizona Cardinals in the wild card round. I was excited about it. God bless. It was
so
boring.
Bad.
I mean, blowout after blowout. The Bengals Raiders game was the best one. And Joe Burrow, Joe Scheisty, that dude is swagged out. Mm-hmm. He is damn good. And Ja'Marr Chase, okay? It ain't like he throws at Ja'Marr Chase once every drive. It's every play. I mean, that guy gets open every single play. It's pretty damn impressive. There's no doubt about that. And then the Bills smoke the Pats. The Bucks smoke the Eagles. The Cowboys-Niners game was pretty good. Dallas, that was good. My God.
Awful ending for Dallas.
Brutal.
Well, you know, you talk about I never felt at one point that Cincinnati was going to lose the game. Obviously, it was more competitive. But the Joe Burrow and then Ja'Marr Chase, you want to talk about all the crap Ja'Marr Chase got this offseason.
Yeah.
And then in preseason, not being able to catch the football and the adjustment. I mean, the guy is an absolute freak. And that brings me to my point about, you know, where does George Pickens end up in the draft? And everyone always gets on me about, George is an elite receiver.
Ja'Marr Chase is an
elite receiver. And you can't tell me those two are in the same ballpark.
Dude, he gets open every play.
Well, it's not only that. What he does, the yak after catch, man. Pickens is a catch. Pickens is not a yak guy. And you need yak. You need yards after catch. So, I think Pickens is a second-round pick.
Second round? You think he goes that high?
I think second,
just from intangibles.
Yeah, intangible. I mean, he's big. He's a great threat. He's a great red zone threat. He's a great one-on-one threat. He just doesn't have that, you know, to me, what you need when it comes to yards after catch, catching a slant, taking it for 15, 20 more yards. That's not him. But I think there is enough talent there where people are going to say when he walks down during the combine, like, damn, that's a good looking kid.
Yeah, I agree.
I think second, third round, mid round.
So what, like Jameson Williams? I mean, he was obviously going.
I would take Jameson in the first rounder.
Still,
I would. I mean, we've seen it nowadays with ACLs. I mean, he'll be back ready to go, probably, you know, first part of the season.
How about Cam Akers, the running back for the Rams? The dude tore his Achilles in September, and he was out there trucking.
I don't get that.
Last weekend, I don't even know how that's possible. I tore my calf in 2016 and it still hurts. This guy tore his Achilles 5 months ago and he's serving up concussions on a platter in the wild card round. I mean, that was absolutely insane. But speaking about Ja'Marr Chase, who opted out of his entire last year at LSU, probably due to COVID, that's what he cited. And then Jameson Williams, who got injured in the national championship game. This brings me back to a point. I think we talked about it on the show around opt-outs. around sitting out for bowl games and why you would play in the college football playoff or national championship if you're a surefire first rounder. Okay. And our buddy Danny Cannell brought it up. And I think it's a really true point. And I want somebody to listen to this and give me their opinion. Okay. Ja'Marr Chase and Micah Parsons, who for all intents and purposes might be offensive player of the year rookie and defensive player of the year rookie, both opted out of their entire senior years in college. They cited COVID, but whatever, they opted out. Okay. Matt Corral got hurt in the Sugar Bowl. People were like, oh my God, why didn't he opt out? What an idiot. He just lost so much money. Jameson Williams, non-contact ACL in the national championship game. Holy cow, he got hurt, but he's fighting for a championship. Danny Cannell said, and I think it's so true, and I think you agree with me too, Aaron. Maybe I can persuade you to agree with us. You cannot justify opting out for a bowl game because you're going to the draft, but still play in the playoff or a championship because it's the playoffs and you're playing for a championship if you are a surefire first rounder. Why? Because you're talking about $25 to $30 million, okay? That is a horrible business decision. Hey, I want to go play for a title, but I might jeopardize $25 million. Or, hey, I'm going to sit out because I'm going to go be a first rounder. The right thing to do if you think or know you're going to get $25, $30 million. And I hate guys sitting out. Is sit out the whole season because that's a horrible business decision. It is a great team decision to continue to play, which of course I agree with. I want everybody to play in every single game. Picking and choosing which games you want to opt out of does not matter. It shows with Matt Corral going down in the Sugar Bowl and unfortunately Jameis Williams going down in the national championship game. Play the game of football. It's beautiful. Or don't play the game of football. Yep. Simple as that.
Well, I think that two things. Ja'Marr Chase, one, benefited from winning a national championship. So he came and went and was one of the best receivers in college football. His quarterback, who just won the Heisman, was leaving. A lot of the guys on offense were leaving. Like, he looked coaches at it too as coaches were leaving. Hey, this is the best it's going to get.
Yeah.
My quarterback's gone. I've won a national championship. I've won an SEC championship game. There's nothing much left for me to do in college that's going to better my stock. So what is the use of me coming back another year? Because I can kind of look at this roster right now and know it's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
I think you look at a guy like Jameson Williams, he could not have sat out this year and been a first round pick. I mean, he was buried on
for
the
sure.
depth chart.
He was an unknown commodity. Yeah.
But I think you have to look at it situation by situation. Like if you came to college to win a championship, you did that. You prove that you're a first round pick that year as well, but you obviously you're a sophomore. A good example would be, I mean, I guess you could say Will Anderson. You know, he won a Natty the year before. He's won an SEC championship game. He to me is a top five pick in the NFL draft if it happened. You know, this year, if he's going to be a top five pick in the draft next year too, he's a guy that to me right now could sit out and I would have no issue with it.
Yeah,
he came to college. To win a championship. He did that. And he's a first round pick. So I understand, but now you throw into the part of NIL, and I know NIL will never be $25, $30 million for these kids. But I mean, do you make that case? Like, hey, I love football. I love college football. I can stay, and a guy like Will Anderson can probably get close to seven figures. I would think.
Yeah. Oh, I'm
can make a million bucks, play one more season, then go into the NFL.
And that's nowadays, legitimate
knock on wood, but most injuries, and you're talking about K-makers with the Achilles, if you get hurt even in the championship game, you'll be back in six, seven months.
Yep.
Like, unless you have like a freaky Alex Smith type injury, like you're still going to be a first round. Like, I think, you know, the receiver's still going to be a first round draft pick. Maybe he drops five slots and that's, you know, still a decent amount of change, but you're still a first round pick. So I think you have to weigh that into it as well. How much do you love college football? How much have you already accomplished when it comes to being a college football player? Have you feel like you've maxed out when it comes to that? And then also maxed out when it comes to pushing yourself up in the NFL draft. So you got to take it case by case.
No, I agree. That's really well said. What about this is last thing?
Would you be surprised if Will Anderson decides to opt out? I mean, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't, but Coach Saban, I mean, that ain't going to happen in Alabama. If he was at another school, I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever. I mean, simply put, but he's going to come back and play. He's a baller, and probably because he'll be the first to tell you he loves football. Last thing, the Kayvon Thibodeau thing. Did you talk about that at all on the radio? The interview with Joel Klatt. Are you familiar with this?
No, please.
You have no idea what this is?
No idea.
So Kayvon Thibodeau, the stud top five pick from Oregon, was on like a watch live stream with Joel Klatt from Fox Sports during the national championship game. So Joel Klatt's kind of talking with him, and he's like, you know, like, tell me about your recruiting. Like, why'd you end up at Oregon? Essentially, why? And Kayvon Thibodeau, with his glasses on, goes on this wild rant, Aaron, about why he chose Oregon over Alabama. And he starts taking a huge dump on Alabama education. He's like, look, I want to be more than just a football player. And yeah, if I went to Alabama, I would have won national championships, full stop. Like, I would have won national championships, but I want more than that. I want to be a part of something bigger. Oregon and Nike, they're a global brand. If I came back and Phil Knight would give me a, he'd give me a job at Oregon today, I'll call him. And then he starts saying, you know, the stigmatism of Alabama education. Now, stigmatism is something that's in your eye. He meant to be saying a stigma of Alabama education. So he kept going, keeps saying the stigmatism of Alabama education, the stigmatism of Alabama education. Joel Klatt's like, what is going on right now? Oh. He is going on this wild rant. The beauty of the entire thing is Alabama as a university is ranked higher than Oregon as a university from an education standpoint. It was bizarre. It was such a weird way to say, here is why I went to Oregon rather than Alabama. And Joel Klatt had to come out and apologize and be like, I should have pushed back. That's my fault. He was probably taken aback by the whole thing. Like, what the hell is going on? Greg McElroy got on Twitter and was like, hey, Kayvon, meet me in Birmingham. Glad to take a Wunderlich test. And Greg McElroy even said, hey, I think it's pretty funny you start mentioning Oregon in the same breath as Ivy League schools. Like, he was talking about Harvard. And what? Greg said, yeah, Greg goes, I got offered by Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, and I went to Alabama. He's like, I don't know if you got offered by those teams, but, you know, Greg was a Rhodes Scholar. I mean, he's a super, super sharp dude. Really funny, really, really bizarre. Check that out. I'll send it to you after we get done here. But
I must say, though, you know, my mom did not let me go to LSU for that specific reason. But there's proof that LSU is not near as good of an academic school as Georgia. But
yes, that is a fact.
You know, Thibodeau, make sure you learn your facts before you start talking smack.
Stigmatism.
Learn your stigmatism, like,
dude,
too.
What? That's bad luck. All right, let's get out of here. Man. Winners this weekend. First game is Bengals at Titans.
Ooh, I love this game. Are we going to do spreads here? Are we going to do spreads?
Sure. Three and a half. The Titans are 3.5-point favorites. Look, Derrick Henry's coming back. The Bengals have two injuries on their defensive line, which obviously is not a good timing. Titans off a bye. I hate picking against Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I have a futures ticket on the Titans to win the Super Bowl. So I'll roll with the Titans -3.5.
3.5 though. That half points kill me right now. I think the game, I'm going to take the Bengals. I think Titans win, but by a field goal.
Okay.
Joe Burrow, I just think he's a top five quarterback. Yeah. If you want to win championships, you have to have an elite quarterback. And to me, Joe Burrow all year long has proven that he is a top 5, top 10 quarterback.
Joe Scheisty.
I think Tannehill's great, but the quarterback battle right now goes to Joe Burrow. So I think he can keep it close.
Love it. Niners at Packers Saturday night, probably going to be 5 degrees.
Freezing.
I think the Niners are a 6-point dog. So Packers are 6-point favorites right now. And let me just tell you this right now. Okay. Kyle Shanahan in the playoffs, the way he schemes up the run game, right? Debo Samuel is a beast. I love watching that guy play football. He is a stud. I'll take the dog here. I think it's going to be close. I think San Francisco runs the ball and keeps Aaron Rodgers off the field. I think it's close. I think I would not be surprised if the Niners win. Bosa and Fred Warner, I have not seen the injury report yet, but that is going to be big time for the injury report.
Yeah,
I'll take the Niners with the points.
I'm gonna take Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau this year, kind of making a huge statement. Who knows if he's going to be a Packer next year? I think he goes out on top or has a chance to go out on top.
Yeah,
I like Aaron Rodgers in this game, so I'll take the Packers.
Sunday afternoon, NFC, great matchup. Our boy Matthew Stafford heading to Tampa Bay to take on the Bucs. The Bucs are 3-point home favorites. I think this is a tale of two defenses. If you watched the Rams get after Kyler Murray and make him look like a JV quarterback, they were flying around, a lot of pressure, got him out of the pocket, but then had that spy where he couldn't move the ball with his legs. I just have a hard time picking against that Tampa Bay defense. They looked phenomenal against the Eagles, and the Eagles suck.
The Eagles suck.
So do the Cardinals. Don't give me that.
Eagles suck.
So do the Cardinals. So do the Cardinals. I love Matthew. I can't pick Matthew over Brady. I will be so thrilled if Matthew does beat Brady, but I'll lay the three here. I think the Bucs at home, I know they have a lot of injuries on offense. The two biggest injuries to look out for, though, Tristan Wirfs and Ryan Jensen on the offensive line. If they don't play, this line is moving towards the Rams, and I might be thinking differently, but you're going to take the Rams.
Well, I just think if you look at their defense, I think, you know, the Bucs with the injuries they have, and obviously with Antonio Brown and his shenanigans out, you know, I like the matchup of Ramsey on Evans. So all of a sudden now Evans is out of the game.
Yeah.
That puts a lot of pressure on Gronk, and Gronk's going to have to be special. But I think because of the injuries at receiver, because of the fact that the Rams have one of the best cornerbacks in the country, or not country, I keep thinking, you know, college over here, in the NFL, still in the country. I like the Rams. I like them up front, especially with the injuries that the Bucs have. You know, with Donald, with, you know, old boy from Denver over there, defensive end.
Yeah, Von Miller.
Von Miller. You know, the way that the connection between Stafford and Odell is happening right now, and those guys
Cooper
are getting more comfortable.
God, those guys are beasts. Cooper, I know.
They're the better team. I mean, then it goes back to quarterback. I mean, if you want to go break down position by position, I give the edge to the Rams a little bit. Besides quarterback, and the reason is obviously Tom is won more championships. I don't know. I think Stafford right now with McVay is a match that's only gotten better and better this season, especially with Odell on the roster. I'll take the Rams to win this one.
All right. I thought it was cool. I watched the Manning cast. First off, Peyton and Eli are allergic to saying anything negative about a quarterback. I mean, it is comical. Like, if a quarterback throws a pick, it ain't the quarterback's fault.
Oh,
the quarterback fumbles
not.
It ain't the quarterback's fault. Bad play call, it ain't the quarterback's fault. I mean, come on, guys. I get it, but geez. They did a really good breakdown of Matthew and his arm strength, essentially saying he's one of the only guys in the NFL that can throw the ball literally after the receiver breaks in a route. Usually it's an anticipatory throw. The receiver's coming out of the break and looking for the ball. Matthew can just sling it.
He sees it. It's stupid.
It's insane. It really is insane. You're watching like, damn. And he puts it right on a dime.
Dude, Tom, though, I mean, watching Tom last week in the season, Tom, to me, still has top 10, top 15 arm strength.
Well, he's Benjamin Button. He's reversing an age. It's unbelievable.
Like, when he's throwing the football, I'm like, how the hell? I mean, you could tell, even on the TV, that that thing's coming with some velocity.
Yeah.
You know, like, the dude's 44 years old, and he probably throws harder than most of the guys in the NFL still.
It's crazy. Last pick, Chiefs, Bills. Bills at the Chiefs. Chiefs are 2.5-point favorites. I like this game too. I think the Bills are playing
the
better
Bills
than
win.
The Chiefs right now. Yeah,
I do too.
I think
I like
the Bills win. I like
those
Josh
are my
Allen
team to win the
legs.
Super Bowl. I'm going with Bills to win the Super Bowl. I love their defense, number one defense in the NFL. Josh Allen, his ability to run it, his arm strength. You know, they just Singletary. I love Singletary at the running back spot. I just think they're the better team, honestly, on both sides of the football. So I'm going to go.
I think
with the Bills
so too.
In this one.
All right, we're speaking the same language. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Good stuff. All right. We'll keep this thing going. We'll probably do once a week for the next couple of weeks. Aaron, you and I got to get together, see what the plans are moving forward. But we're fired up. We're keeping this thing rolling. Follow
keep
us on
that,
social
boy.
Media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. Aaron's at Aaron Murray 11. Puntandpass.com for all things college football. We will talk to you next week. See you.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you? 3-1 smoked high in the air. deep center field and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.